You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, July the 8th. And could Brody be coming to Detroit? This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word. Hope everyone enjoyed the 4th of July holiday week. A lot of news around the NBA, a lot of news around the Detroit Tigers. Kind of a big news weekend when I was up in the woods in northern Michigan for a lot of it. And I hope you guys were able to spend some time unplugged, but also stay relatively plugged at times as well, too. But today, we are going to run through the Summer League results from the Pistons for over the weekend. Also going to talk about Russell Westbrook, the Oklahoma City Thunder star point guard. The rumors are still hot about a possible Russell to Detroit trade. We will talk about my thoughts on that, some of the off-court and on-court issues that come with that. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Going to try to hit the Google voice line a little bit later if we have time. 810-666-1546 is that number. Have some Summer League reaction from Brandon out there as well. But for the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net. Again, an awesome way to get all the latest opinions from all the local experts during NBA free agency at Locked On NBA Net. But the Pistons in Vegas for Summer League 2-0 after the first two games of the four-game regular season on Friday took out Croatia in the first game of the Las Vegas Summer League for any team. 96-80 was the final score there. And then they beat Portland on Saturday 93-73. So a couple of decisive wins for the Pistons. And man, this looks like a really nice looking Summer League team. We told you that maybe you should go for that 25-1 championship bet. I'm sure there's a lot of basketball to be played, fortunately or unfortunately, for some of these Summer League games. But hoisting a lot of threes, playing some good defense. In two games so far this Summer League, the Pistons are 31 of 80 from three-point land. First of all, that's a lot of threes to throw up in two games. But 39%, nothing wrong with shooting that many threes if you're going to shoot them that efficiently. And, of course, the key of that is the ability to get assists on those three-pointers, which we've saw from many of them. And that was led by Bruce Brown, who's playing point guard and playing very well. Again, this is Summer League. Let's throw that caveat out there. 12 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds in the first game, 17 points and 10 assists in the second game, averaging 14.5 points and 8.5 assists through two games in Summer League. Some nice block shots, playing recovery on some on-ball defense there. Couple of ball handling hiccups that we've noticed. Anthony Simons got in his pocket one time. And I would like to see teams try to pressure him and really put their best defensive perimeter players on him and try to make life tough for him ball handling-wise, see how he handles it. And we know that once you get into real NBA games, that's going to be pressure ratcheted up and all that stuff too. But once again, second straight year, Bruce Brown looks like a man in Summer League, especially physically. Finishing in traffic as well, stands out amongst all those other projects out there, those skinny guys, those guys like Anthony Simons who are young and need to round up physically a little bit and get used to the NBA rigors. Well, you know, Bruce is a nice cut guy physically and a bigger body for his height. So I think that it's expected that he kind of has his way in a lot of ways, but I'm just really impressed by the way he's been assertively physically finishing at the rim, not quite getting the dunks that James Edwards wrote about last week that maybe he's going to try to add when he's driving to the rim, but finishing well and finishing creatively around the basket as well. Kyrie Thomas, something I've asked for. He's trying to assert himself out there pretty much in a standstill shooting role. He did have a nice floater at the beginning of the Portland game. And, doing some other things offensively, but really he's kind of projected to be a little bit of a standstill corner shooter in his NBA career. And he knocked down 7 threes on Friday, struggled with the shot a little bit on Saturday, but certainly not hesitating to throw him up. I think he shot 14 threes in the first game against Croatia. And then Svea Mykhailiuk, a guy who doesn't need to attempt to assert himself. You know he's going to do that. He's going to hoist. He scored 17 points on Friday and then 18 points on Saturday. Really a guy that not shy about the three-pointers and creating his own three-pointers, stepping into some, creating shots off the pick and roll too. So you know he's got the directive to try to become more of a playmaker and certainly doing that. Some of the other guys, Todd Withers is playing well off the bench for the Pistons. I wonder if anyone's scouting him, possibly looking at a two-way deal. Sometimes if you're a Pistons organization, you want guys like Todd Withers to play well in summer league, but maybe sometimes them playing too well could be of a detriment to the organization, because obviously if Todd Withers is offered a two-way deal, he would rather accept that than any kind of affiliate spot with the Grand Rapids Drive. Similarly, Dante Hall, definitely adding some athleticism down low for the Pistons there, being a solid summer league type of big, and we'll see where his career goes from here, from the undrafted guy from Alabama. The Pistons play at 5 o'clock today against the Indiana Pacers on ESPNU. So check your listings in the old cable box and see whether you got it, or maybe you're on Watch ESPN like I am during these. But Indiana's 0-1. They lost their opener big on Saturday. They've got Aaron Holiday with the ball in his hands quite a bit this summer league. They got Brian Bowen of Saginaw, Alize Johnson of Missouri State, who I used to know down in Springfield in terms of covering him a little bit. Edmund Sumner is a guy who's been on the Pacers at times these last couple years. Another guard there. Goga Batadze, their first-round pick, did not play on Saturday. I do not know his status for today. And also for the Pistons, no word on Sekou Doumbouya if he's going to be able to go today. Sounds like precautionary, but man, talk about the number one thing that Pistons fans wanted to see in summer league, and he hasn't been able to go these first two games because of what sounds like a minor hamstring situation. But whether he plays or not, Jordan Bohn could possibly be joining the team today as the trade for the second-round pick was made official on Saturday. Now, good news, obviously you want to see the second-round pick out there, and he needs to get the experience as much as possible. But on the other hand, you kind of like what you're seeing from Svi Mykhailiuk and Bruce Brown in terms of being initiators on offense. But maybe Jordan Bohn, maybe they kind of ease him in with the second unit, kind of take those minutes that the young man, name escaping me right now, but Cherry, Will Cherry, the guy who's been kind of playing that backup point guard, who, by the way, is a nice-looking body, too, a stronger, stout kind of guy who not afraid to mix it up, nice physical brand of basketball. So Jordan Bohn could be that kind of type of player, too, so we'll see how he fits in with the summer league team today. The Pistons will be back in action on Wednesday against the 76ers. That's the last of the regular season summer league slate, and we'll play at least one postseason game. Those games start on Friday. I believe those might be the consolation games, though. They haven't really released the full schedule. It's easy for me to find anyway. So Pistons continue today. We'll continue on Wednesday, and then I'll have at least one more game, and that would be Friday at the earliest. But next, we're going to talk about Russell Westbrook. It's what you guys are all talking about on Twitter. I'm going to give my thoughts fairly predictably. Not a big fan, but we're going to talk about that next here on the Locked on Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
Going to try to hit the Google Voice line a little bit later on to get your thoughts from Summer League. But when you are driving to or from work or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked on Pistons, and we will be right there with you for the drive. But the Russell Westbrook rumors are flying around. Chris Sheridan says Westbrook to Miami has legs. That's the latest I've seen. Sam Amick and Brett Dawson of The Athletic had mentioned Westbrook to Detroit or Miami as very real possibilities. The early reports were that Westbrook was being checked in on by the Minnesota Timberwolves and very aggressively by the Detroit Pistons. But kind of a confusing weekend. Rumor-wise, Kawhi Leonard decides to go to the Clippers with the caveat that the Clippers were able to acquire Paul George in a trade. One that was being complimented on for Sam Presti in terms of what he was able to get in a return from the LA Clippers in that one. If you listen to the show, you know I'm not as big on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as a lot of guys are. Admittedly, I have not watched him every game, but I just feel like there's a lot of work that needs to be done for Shai there. And this is one of those situations where I believe that the Clippers front office is very favorably covered by a lot of people in the national media because they have a front office that is Jerry West, Lawrence Frank, they got Doc Rivers as the coach as well. Guys who have a long history of having being in the media themselves at times and also kind of very favorable coverage. So I've kind of have my own conspiracy theory that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is talked about as maybe a little bit better of a prospect than he possibly is because of, you know, people wanting to, maybe gas up those Clipper assets. So you have guys like Jerry West and guys like Lawrence Frank maybe telling their media buddies about how good he is and how good he looks. And now he becomes the centerpiece of a trade that ends up getting them Paul George. So how good did the Clippers really think he is if they were able to trade him away? Now, of course, you're getting a very good asset in Paul George, so they certainly think something highly of him. But as far as games that I've seen Shai Gilgeous-Alexander play, I'm just not seeing this future all-star that a lot of guys are seeing. A solid point guard, sure. But as far as like a franchise-changing team, a player or someone who should be the centerpiece of a trade that gets you Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, or that gets you Paul George, I'm not quite seeing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander quite in that category. Just my 2 cents on that one. But and we also know that Woj goes back in Pistons lore with Lawrence Frank. When Lawrence Frank was back with the Pistons as well, we know about Woj's cozy relationship with Joe Dumars, to say the least, from back of the day. But anyway, and hey, you know, I'll say this about the Pistons and Russell Westbrook to start off. It's good that the Pistons are poking around. You always want your team involved in poking around about anything. You want the front office making the calls, seeing if they can get a bargain, or maybe latch on as a third or fourth team in a big deal to help, you know, to acquire some assets, maybe give up some things that they have no problem parting with. I have absolutely no problem with Ed Stefanski checking in on this or any other player, even when it's a polarizing star like a Russell Westbrook. Maybe he can be somehow had for cheap. Maybe there's just no one interested in Oklahoma City really wants to get off the deal. Unfortunately, with this contract for Westbrook, it's such a negative value for me that I can't imagine how this becomes something that works. Like Keith Black down in North Carolina said on Twitter, I wouldn't want Westbrook on this Pistons team if you were able to get him for nothing. If you were able to dump a bunch of, you know, some negative assets for him, not hardly anything of value draft capital wise. I just wouldn't want that contract and that person and that player here with the Pistons right now. I want no part of this. No part of Russell Westbrook. Could not be more opposed to this, and I can't be more clear about that. And first, you know, I've been thinking about this for a couple days. Interesting, because I was up north, up in the woods, and got the Kawhi news overnight. My phone started buzzing and while I was asleep and read it there. But then I went deeper into the woods, away from further cell reception, for about a 24-hour period. And that's when but you can get like some texts come through, a little bit of Twitter notifications come through. I got the Shams and Woj and the Pistons beat writers on my Twitter notifications that come straight to the phone during a free agency period, so I can kind of stay on top of things. But so I had like a Rod Beard tweet that came through that was like, wow, reacting to something. So I knew that and my brother Brian was sending me texts as well, like, wow, the Pistons might fall backwards into becoming a super team. And so I knew that there was either a trade happening, a trade proposal, and or maybe that at like what was the case, the very least, the Pistons being linked somewhat informally to a player who's out there on the trade block. So it was a strange 24 hours for me, kind of in my head thinking, maybe Kyle Lowry is already on the Pistons. Maybe Russell Westbrook is already on the Pistons. Maybe Andre Drummond has been traded. You know, there were all these things of what these texts and half of tweets meant were in my mind until I was able to check that out on Sunday afternoon. So just a little personal story about how that all went down for me. So I had some time to think about it on the drive home and all that stuff. But first, I wanted to kind of get the personal bias out of the way. Always like to acknowledge where I might fall short in being objective. And as a member of the media, I think that's the first thing that comes to mind, the way that Russell Westbrook handles the press, the media, not the full court press. But that next question BS that he pulled all last season with Barry Trammell, Mary Trammell, I guess, of the Oklahoman. I know that you guys probably don't care to the most extent as far as how Russell Westbrook treats the media. Or maybe you do and you think it's kind of funny. Or maybe you just assume that Barry Trammell did something dumb, wrote something dumb or uncalled for. And again, there are a lot of us in the media who at times deserve some shade from players. We deserve the next question stuff at times. A little bit of a scorny, thorny relationship is sometimes not a bad reflection of the player at all. But, I took an interest in this story about, you know, Russell Westbrook and Barry Trammell and read a lot of what I could find about them, about Barry. I know Barry a little bit. I've been at conferences with him, met him a time or two. when I worked down in Missouri. People I know well vouch for him. He's not one of these hot take artists, takedown columnists, but kind of the one member of the Oklahoma media that he couldn't control, the opinion setter, table maker out there who, and it seems like Russell Westbrook just couldn't handle the fact that there was something in the small media market that he couldn't control. There's no smoking gun column. There's nothing below the belt that Trammell did on Twitter or said in a column or anything like that. There's nothing out there that we know of. Westbrook would never even indicate what the issue was, never sent along a message through an intermediate, kind of privately to Trammell about why it was happening. Trammell's written columns about how I don't know what's going on. I've reached out to him many times. Barry kept asking the team to set up meetings to iron it over, see what's going on. And he kept showing up and asking well thought out questions, knowing there was virtually no chance it was going to get answered on NBA playoff podiums. And Russ continued to make himself look like an ass night in and night out. And again, you get a couple chuckles from the NBA and TNT guys afterwards and stuff. But even Charles Barkley was like, you don't do that. You got to do your job. Part of growing the league is having these press conferences and having these post-game shows and all those things that we know that the game is popular, but half of the reason is because of things that happen off the court, the things that are viral, the things that are on Twitter. And I know that, him being kind of an ass to Barry Trammell is viral in its own way, but not in a way that Adam Silver wants, that's for sure. The result of whatever happened between Russell and Trammell was all the no comment stuff, trying to make Barry look like a punk for no reason. And again, it's talking to the media, and I know that my bias is making this more of an issue than it is. But I'll say this. To me, it's kind of a tell. It's one of those situations where, you got these famous multi-million dollar athletes, and they're forced to talk to like regular Joes, like me, regular people. And I know that it's an imperfect comparison, first of all, because it is a nuisance for them. They're being talked to in the locker room many times. It's a bad system. We all know that. I know that I always feel uncomfortable being in the locker room. I wouldn't want someone following me around when I'm, in the shower or in the bathroom or something like that. That wouldn't want. That's certainly not a good work environment, and we all know that. But no one's come up with a way to fix that. But plus, we know that there are media people out there, and you could throw me on this list of people if you want to, that have like those axes to grind. We know we got the sports radio hosts and the podcasters that spew a lot of crap all the time. But it's a chance for athletes to be asked some questions, maybe answer them thoughtfully or at least politely. Because I'll tell you this, from getting to know athletes as much as I have, which is not, extensive over the years, but it's certainly more than, your average person. The players that are good with the media usually tend to be the ones who aren't getting arrested. They have a lot of charity work that they want to promote, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like just because someone is good with the media or talks to the media or has a relationship with the media doesn't make them a good person. And just because someone has more of a confrontational view of the media and doesn't talk to the media, it's not absolutes. They aren't like a bad dude because of it. But it's usually more of a tell, more of an indicator about deeper things. The Pistons locker room, by the way, is great with the media. Rare exceptions on rare cases. And through the course of a long season, there will be some bad nights for player and media interaction. It's all to be expected there. But Russell Westbrook comes from an environment where the Thunder are able to walk all over the small-town media. The restrictions are there in Oklahoma City, from what I understand, are the worst in the league. There's no chance at access. And when there is, Russell Westbrook uses that pulpit to bully the main columnist in the state, a guy who readers like, for what we can tell, no reason at all. And the other off-court issues, so to kind of get that personal bias out of the way and acknowledge it and maybe show that maybe I'm wrong about a lot of things, and I know you guys listening certainly believe that too, but some of the other off-court issues are the contract, the age, and the health. Former Arne Tellem guy, so I don't like that. Bad news there. The contract is for 3 more seasons. Four years guaranteed, $170 million guaranteed. 3 of those years are regular contract years. A player option for the fourth at $47 million. So guess what? 33 years old at that last contract year. Safe to bet that he's going to be taking that. A guy who relies so much on his physicality, can't shoot threes, can't shoot from deep. His three-pointers has gotten worse as his career continues. He's been under 30%, under 30% the last couple years. I don't think he's going to age well. I'm not alone in that. The right knee, he tore his meniscus in 2013 in a playoff game when Patrick Beverley aggressively went after him. So that ended his season, set up a surgery. He had a second surgery before the next season, 13-14, began. Missed a few games to start that season, came back, then had another surgery on it during the season, missed 28 games during that stint. In the 2017 lead-up to training camp, had a platelet-rich plasma shot before the season where they take out your blood, they spin it around and put more plasma in it, and then re-put it into your body. A minor procedure that a lot of guys have undergone, but still a little bit of a red flag. And then a minor arthroscopic surgery on the same right knee, again, before the 2018 season. We're talking about five surgeries on the same knee. Again, to be fair, durable in terms of games played. Whatever he's done to treat the knee has worked out so far, as he is 30 years old now. Is it a guarantee that something is going to be wrong, that he has all these surgeries? No, it is not a guarantee that something is going to go wrong. But it's a huge gamble for a guy whose athleticism is by far his most important asset. Oh, and now while we're talking about one more off-the-court stuff, what's his relationship with fans? Well, he's basically regularly getting into altercations with fans pretty regularly. So, you know, there's that. Obviously, some of these are case-by-case basis where you can make some concessions that he, you know, wasn't the most of in the wrong in some of these cases, maybe. But hey, you know, general rule, try not to fight the paying customers. I think we can kind of go by that there. But up next, we're going to talk about the on-court fit with Russell Westbrook and the Pistons. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, doesn't look like I'm going to have time to hit the Google voice line today. Just too many thoughts about Russell Westbrook. If you listen to this podcast, you already know he's my least favorite player in the NBA. So there are two things going on when you build a team and you're trying to make these trades. There's the asset collection. Obviously, in a trade, you want to come out with the better assets than what you gave up. Sometimes, it benefits both teams, and that some teams looking more at future assets, whether that's draft picks or cap space or whatever else, and then one team's going for more of a win now circumstance. So, you know, that's the one way to analyze a trade. But the other thing that I think people aren't really thinking about is the team building. This is a team sport. Russell Westbrook has proven throughout his career he cannot coexist with teammates. Kevin Durant left the Oklahoma City Thunder for a chance to go play in Golden State on a team that was up 3-1 against them in the Western Conference Finals for a chance to go win the NBA championship. Paul George. Now, with Paul George, I was almost willing to admit an L on this. He re-signed last summer, seemed to be happy there, and it was kind of the opposite of Russell Westbrook's career. And as time went on, I was like, well, maybe there's something to be said for this. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's not a bad player to play with. Maybe he's not as bad of a teammate as he appears to be in terms of on-court play and how much of a gunner he is. But then this happens, and Paul George demands a trade after just 1 year into that contract. And I'm not saying it's impossible to win with a high volume, low efficiency guy, but you have to craft the team very specifically around that, especially given the fact that, like I said, 30 years old. You got to craft that team specifically around that right now. You cannot do that as part of a 2-3 year plan. Blake Griffin is on this team. He needs the ball. Andre Drummond is a guy who's going to get minutes on this team, and big minutes. Is going to be the third most talented player on this team if they bring in Russell Westbrook. And he doesn't have, he can't shoot, so he doesn't have the necessary stretch five skills that Russell Westbrook and Blake Griffin would ideally kind of have for some room to operate. Westbrook is a liability on defense, by the way. Doesn't turn the Pistons from middle of the pack to anything better defensively. Makes them worse, actually, or maybe a little bit of a wash with Reggie Jackson eating up most of the point guard minutes as the team is constructed right now. And just, man, just as far as a fan watching night in and night out, just bad basketball. The ball being stuck with him. And I know the assist numbers are up, averaging a triple-double for 3 years. But that's all the product of the entire offense going through him, driving and dishing, which, again, not impossible to win that way. Would be better if a guy was going into his prime, not going out of his prime when you acquired him. But when he doesn't have the ball, by the way, he's not effective at all off the ball. He takes plays off when it's not his turn. The fact that he has the ball in his hands so much, you just need specific type of players who can thrive in kind of like a non-ball-touching way, that when they aren't having the ball, that they are figuring out ways to stay hot, to stay active, to stay ready to knock down shots or become kind of a secondary playmaker when those options are available, which is not very often. But in Westbrook himself, not a standstill shooter, not someone who's going to be able to catch and shoot off of Blake Griffin action or anything like that. I can't express to you how much I would hate this move. Unless rumors pick up, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about this. We wanted to kind of get it out of the way today. Now, if rumors pick up or it looks like he's going to become a member of the Pistons, obviously we'll go from there. I think that it makes a lot of sense for him to end up in Miami with Jimmy Butler, which would be a team that I would love to root against. And by the way, if that is to happen, that might bump the Pistons out of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. But I think it would hurt the future of another Eastern Conference team in Miami, which could benefit the Pistons in the long run. I mean, Russell Westbrook to the Pistons, my brain kind of hurts thinking about it. It's kind of a guy that I enjoy rooting against in the NBA playoffs, which, by the way, has been pretty lucrative for me these last 3 years in terms of the expected first-round exits. I thought the MVP season was a joke. There's no way I would have voted him probably even in the top two or three for MVP that year. And I think that history has kind of proven that opinion correct over time, as this style and this way of playing basketball. It's just, if you watch a lot of basketball, you appreciate the ball moving. You appreciate, you know, teams building around certain types of skills here and there, and finding ways to make them mesh, and good coaching trying to figure out how to make teams come together. I mean, Russell Westbrook is just not the answer to that. He's actually the complete opposite of the answer to that. Now, again, lightning in a bottle, a guy who's 25 years old, a guy who's healthy, a guy who for a few years can be kind of a league dynamo. Again, a lot of the same traits that Michael Jordan had in terms of prickly to play with, a really bad teammate, but just so good of a player, such a force of nature that it didn't really matter. And again, I hope you're kind of laughing when I bring up the Michael Jordan comparison, because you know, if you watch, you know, if you've watched Michael and if you watch Westbrook, the Westbrook's nowhere near the player that Michael Jordan was. So it was like those, you know, probably negative aspects and traits that Michael Jordan had in some ways were reasons that he was more effective of an intimidating player to go up against. And Russell Westbrook has some of that. But the force of nature aspect, the overall ability to take over games aspect, is not there, never have been there, and will only decline throughout the course of a four-year, $170 million remaining on this deal that he has. So couldn't be more clear about the fact that I'm totally against this move. But I want to hear from you guys. Let's get some voicemails on tomorrow's show. 810-666-1546. Leave a voicemail on the Google Voice line. Again, 810-666-1546. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. Let's keep our fingers crossed that Russell Westbrook does not end up in the Detroit Pistons roster, for my sake. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a good one and enjoy some more Summer League hoops today.